How you doing? This is Marshall Kuchar, also known as Complex in hip-hop circles, and you're listening to the Escape Artist podcast. Definitely looking to... I want to create like an intro and outro thing where it's not just like... Right now I have one of my beats playing, and it's a cool beat, whatever, you know. But I'd like to create something with like some music behind it, but then it like kind of intros me and outros me, so I don't have to necessarily say like maybe I'll still say the regular intro, but you know, I'd like it so like people know, oh, follow Marshall. You can follow Marshall at MarshallPlex on Twitter or something, you know, like in like all these different links or whatever. I mean, I don't want to inundate people with that right from the get-go, but you know, I would like to have something kind of structured a little more. I'm even also thinking about having like a little break thing like halfway through the show that I just kind of insert on every podcast that you know, like kind of like an advertisement type of thing, but it would be really short and quick. I've seen some other podcasts do it. The one thing why I don't like cable and I don't like radio and stuff is all the advertisements. That's actually something that's why I listen to podcasts and not the radio as much. But I don't mind advertisements. It's just the fact that when you turn on the radio and you click through 5 or 6 or 7 different stations and you can't even get one single song, like, that's ridiculous. Like, it's all advertisements. It's so hard. It's so frustrating when you see that. And then, you know, you spend, you know, time relaxing, watching a TV show, and you know, not half of the time, but like a good amount of the time you're watching advertisements. I don't like that. You know, you get 3 minutes or something of advertisements between when the show ends and starts and all that stuff. Like, nah, I'm not into that. But I think I'm still not totally against advertisements. I actually like to hear advertisements from stuff I'm into, you know. And that's one thing too with these you know, the traditional media and all that, is like you get advertisements for like fabric softener and like cars and beer and whatever, like, and a lot of this stuff isn't even hitting me where I'm at. Like, it's not necessarily something I even care about, you know. Or I do, but I mean, I can go to Walmart and see what they have. I don't need to, you know, be inundated with all these advertisements reminding me how awesome your fabric softener is, you know. So, yeah. But at the same, like I said, at the same time, I'm not afraid to advertise on the things that I publish, because I think that, and this is something I wanted to talk about anyways, and yeah, I'm just kind of jumping into this, like, this time. I'm just trying a new, different way to do the podcast a little bit. Not something I'll always do, you know, but I always like how Jersey from comicsaregreat.com has always kind of tried different ways of opening up a podcast and stuff, and they do that a lot on Lean Into Art and stuff, leanintoart.com. So, just trying something new, I guess. But anyways, so, I don't have a problem with being that guy who does kind of shamelessly advertise a little bit, but, you know, I wouldn't do it in such a way where it's going to take up a ton of time. And, like, manversusart.com, Raul Aguirre Jr., he does it pretty cool. Like, he actually has, I think, 2 spots within his show where he specifically takes time out to advertise different affiliate links and things like that that he promotes and tries to make a little money off of. And I'm totally cool with that. Like, if you are into somebody's content, you want to support them. And one thing that's cool about affiliate links is you don't even necessarily have to buy that person's product. Like, it's like audible.com. I actually did go through the Man vs. Art show to get my Audible account going. I could have gone to the site by myself and done it, but hey, you know, I'm already going to do it. Why not do it in a way that's going to support, you know, a show that I really like, and an artist that I really like, you know? And personally, I don't think people, there might be a few who get offended by stuff like that, but I don't think that people with this kind of publishing are too offended by that kind of thing. I certainly am not. I enjoy, if it's being done right and not in a sleazy way, I enjoy being sold to, especially if it's something that I want to buy. You know, I enjoy it because I like to see the process other people go through to sell their wares and stuff, because I'm learning how to do it myself. And there's ways to do it, I think, that are not, like, sleazy and stuff like that. And that are even fun, which all that ties into the topic that I'm going to talk about, which is, I didn't even mean for that, but that's really cool. So, but I'm not going to get into the topic right now. What I'm going to get into is the updates. You know, I like to do a little updates in the beginning. So, what's been going on with me in the art week? Man, a lot of stuff. Like, I feel like every day, like, I feel like, oh, man, you know, nothing. Not always. I'm not always down on myself or whatever. But, like, a lot of times I come to a point where I'm like, you know, oh, man, nobody's buying my stuff or something. Or, you know, I'm not, am I even making any progress? I mean, I am getting some comments here and there, but blah, blah, blah. Like, those times come. But then when I sit here and do my podcast, I'm like, I always say, oh, a lot's been happening. And it's so true. Like, when I really sit down and think about, like, the week, let's see, has anything been going on? Wow, like, it seems like every week is full of, like, just stuff, like, art-related and podcast-related and blog-related and website-related updates. It's just that, I guess you don't see that full picture until you, like, take a minute to sit back and try to think about what actually has happened, you know, what has been happening. So, you know, anybody out there, if you're making stuff, if you're publishing stuff, even if you're just on Facebook and Twitter and all that, talking to people and networking, you know, stuff is happening, things are building. This whole podcasting and internet thing is still in its infancy stage. People are just now starting to, like, I mean, some people, like, got onto it really quickly, really early, and, you know, you do hear those internet success stories and all that, but a lot of people are still just getting to the point where they're hitting their stride. I kind of look at it as, like, surfing or, like, boogie boarding and stuff. Like, I don't really do that actively, but I used to play on a boogie board, or like, whenever I go to the beach, I like to mess around with a boogie board and try to catch waves and stuff, and that's fun, you know. And I always think of it that way with this marketing stuff and the whole internet thing and any kind of movement, really. You know, it seems like the waves are coming and you got to catch them and kind of see if you can get, you know, get a little ways with it. And then sometimes you don't catch it at the right moment and you just kind of get pushed a little bit, but it's not as far as you want to be pushed, like down into the, you know how it works or whatever. I don't know how to explain it, but, but the thing is there's always another wave. So you might be able to get on to the next one. But, you know, I think with this internet thing, there's been a lot of waves already, but I don't think it's gotten to its peak. I think it's going to be a long time, actually, before it really, like, gets to its peak. I mean, just look at, I don't know, like, the Industrial Revolution and stuff. Like, there's still waves with the Industrial Revolution, even though people would argue that the Industrial Revolution is over. You know, it's the internet age, it's the information wave or whatever. But you can still ride some waves with just the industrial thing and make a lot of money and make a lot of progress. It's like, you know, CDs and tapes and vinyl and stuff like that, and how things have been phased in and phased out and things come back to the surface. Like, never feel like you missed your chance. There's always other opportunities coming. You just gotta keep preparing and keep putting out content and keep creating content, and eventually you're gonna figure out a way to get that content onto some kind of platform that provides momentum for you. So, I don't know where that came from. That's not even the topic, but just, man, I've been thinking about a lot of stuff. Like, I have so many topics I want to podcast about, and it's weird doing it on the road like this, because I can't do it as structured, but at the same time, I think it helps. Like, when I'm kind of doing it off the cuff like this, I have more energy, and I'm like grabbing at things in the subconscious or whatever, trying to claw my way till I get to a point or whatever, and it's like way more fun. Like, I recently did a podcast, the convention podcast that I did, and I actually did it walking around my house, but I was indoors, and I had to kind of have a lower voice because people were sleeping and this and that. And I don't think it had the kind of energy that these on-the-road podcasts have. And it was a little boring in my eyes, which is kind of funny because it's the podcast I've gotten the most comments on. But I think the reason for that is because I kind of promoted it a little more, meaning, like, I let people know who was at the convention. Like, I let them know that I was covering their stuff, so I got a little more eyes on that podcast, and I don't know. It was a lot of you guys, though, that have commented on it, which actually leads me to, you know, thank you again for the comments, and I did want to mention one of the commenters, Jesse Acosta, or Acosta. I don't know how to pronounce anybody's names. I'm sorry if I butcher them. But Jesse Acosta, I'll say, commented on the convention podcast and gave some good, helpful tips about conventioning from his own experience. And just wanted to say thank you publicly, because, I really think it's good advice. It's really in line with the stuff that I hear from other experienced conventioners. So thank you. And also, I wanted to mention, if you comment on a podcast show note blog or anything like that, please click. I mean, if you don't want to be notified, fine. But there's a little box at the bottom that says click, I want to be notified of this if somebody replies. Do that, because otherwise there's no way you're going to know if I comment back. And I'll tell you right now, it's pretty much 100% guaranteed if you leave a comment on my blog or anything, I will comment back. That's something that I'm dedicated to doing. And click that notification thing if you want to hear how I respond. Because I feel like, you know, people leave comments and then I respond, and I don't know if they even hear it. And I don't want to bother people too much, but once in a while I will, I'll actually go on their Twitter or Facebook or something and be like, hey, just to let you know, I responded to your comment, something like that, and which that also kind of goes with my topic there. Still not done with updates. I can already tell this thing's going to be chock full, this podcast. So, let's see. The other major update is, I think I already let you guys know my Monster Mini project is done. The comic is called Glyph and the Monster Munch Mystery. And it's done, shipped out to all the Monster Mini participators. And a lot of people have gotten them, and a lot of people are saying that they like it. So thank you guys for that. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. And also, it took me a couple days. I wanted to really go in and do it upright. Plus, I had like some ideas of how I wanted to package it all up. But it's up for sale on my site at. Actually, I have the blog that I have up right now points right to it. But I think I'm going to put like a little advertisement right on the side of the blog, so it's right there at the front page. But basically, you go under art and then under comics, and you can see it where the offer is to buy the comic if you're interested. What I did was I put four tiers, and I wonder if it's overdoing it. I'm not sure, but I put four tiers. The first tier is buy the comic, and it's buy get two comics for the price of one. Put it up for $5. You get the Glyph and the Monster Munch Mystery comic, and you get the that's the 14-page comic, and then you get the 8-page Rabbit Foldy comic that I did for $5, and I will sign it for you and send it out to you. So far, I got one sale. I'm not stressing about sales with it, but I am pushing it. Mostly, I just want people to read it, check it out. You can read the first three pages of it. There's a link there on the page, the comic page for that. The second tier, and this is the fun, interesting one that I think is really cool, is it's $15. You get like a Monster Munch grab bag or a gift bag. And what I did was I took like brown paper bag, like lunch bags, and I created a stencil that kind of mimics the Monster Munch candy bag within the comic. So it's like you're getting a little candy bag just like the comic. And then what I do is I put a bunch of stuff in it. And, you know, the stencils came out pretty cool. I think it's a cool effect. Goes along with the whole graffiti theme. My character is a graffiti artist. Glyph is. And that's where his powers are, too. Whatever he creates kind of comes to life, at least for a time. And, what I did was, okay, so what's in the gift bag is the comic, obviously, signed, the Foldy comic as well, then I put two stickers in there. This is an artist edition, so there's a 4.5 by 4.5 piece of original art, penciled and inked, and I feel like there was something else I put in the bag. Two stickers. Why can't I think of? Yeah, maybe that is it. So, that's what it is. It's basically an artist edition, but kind of packaged up in a fun way. So I'm really excited about those. I'd love to sell some of those just because I think they're cool. And also, you know, it's partially I created it as something I could sell at conventions too, because it like kind of sits upright, and you know, I'll probably try to sell them, but I can't imagine I'd sell more than 5. I might not even sell one at the conventions and stuff, but you know, it's kind of something visually interesting to look at, and I think it might be kind of a cool thing. So, but I think it's cool to send it out too. So that is the second tier. The third tier is the Super Artist Edition, which is you get the two comics, and you get a page, an original page from the comic book. There's only 14 available because there's only 14 pages in the comic. It's the original page. I think it's 8x6, penciled and inked, erased, no words, but there are word balloons. And yeah, so I think that's a fun little one, and that's up for $35 each for those, 14 available. Right now they're all available, so if you are interested in that, make sure you go over there and get your pick. I put up all the pictures of each page so you can see which ones are still available, because when they start going, you know, I think all the pages are kind of cool. Like, I would like to have any of those pages if I was, you know, a collector of my work, which that sounds kind of weird, but obviously I'm not collecting my own work, I guess. But, yeah, so I don't know. They all look kind of cool. You know, some are better or have a more of an action sequence than others, which, you know, people I think tend to gravitate towards the more action-y pages. But even the just talking ones are fun, I think. I think they look kind of cool. So there's that. And then the final tier is just one available. You get the cover and the comics, and that's going for $50. The original comic art of the cover. So I don't necessarily expect anybody to get the pages or the comic cover. The two main ones I'm really focusing on are just get the comic for $5 or get the gift bag for $15, the artist edition. And, you know, those are the ones I'm trying to sell mostly. If people do end up getting the pages, cool. You know, if not, that's cool too. I love the pages that I made, and it's cool if I get to keep them. But I'm not afraid, certainly not afraid to part with them for some cold hard cash as well. So, yeah. Which reminds me, I have to go and make sure I back up all my page files now that the comic is finished. I have two backup like hard drives, and I'm gonna start. They're both empty now because I cleaned them all up. So I gotta go and put anything that's finished in those, so that I don't lose them. So I'll have it saved on three different computers. So yeah. So that's it for the pitch. I know it was a little bit long, but that's kind of the official launch pitch for the new comic. And now we'll get into the topic. And I'm actually going to pause it for a minute. All right, so actually, I did want to also say a shout out to Jared Wilson. And let you guys know, if you want to check out his new Facebook page with his buddy, I'm not sure what his buddy's name is, but it's it should be facebook.com/nightshiftcomics. I'll put a link in the show notes. But just got done actually this morning. I was just chatting. He chatted with me a little bit on Facebook. And we were talking about graffiti, and we were talking about silver and Bronze Age comics and stuff like that. Apparently, he's friends with Javier Hernandez at Hovzilla.com, and said that Javier got him into really looking into some of the older comics and reading those more. And I have to agree. I used to actually think all that old school stuff was lame, like really lame. And I was, you know, I was really into like the new hot artists and stuff back when I first got into comics. But now I totally change. My tastes have changed a lot. Like, I still like the new hot stuff and all that, whatever. Like, all these new artists doing like crazy detailed stuff and, you know, twisted stuff or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I like all that stuff. But I really dig the old school styles too now. So that's just on the art side of thing. I also really dig the old storytelling, especially, I think it's, I don't know the age, like how all the ages work and stuff, but especially like the kind of mid old stuff, like not the beginning stuff. I mean, I like that stuff too, but I love the storytelling when it started to get kind of funky and where you know, in each comic you had a full like little story. And you know, I remember I used to read my dad's old comics, and I think it's the Silver Age, but he had a lot of like Superman, Superboy, Lois Lane, like all those comics, and it seemed like in every single issue there was something crazy was going to happen to Superman, and they tell you like the whole story on the front cover, and you know, it's like, oh, you know, somebody slipped Krypton into, you know, Superman's breakfast today. He's going to die. Like, and you pretty much don't, you're like, oh my gosh, like that must have pulled kids in, you know. And, you know, you go and you read it. And obviously, I think it was, man, who said it? I think it might have been Nathan Seybold said it. Somebody said it. I don't want to say who the wrong person, but we're talking about cover art on the Comic Projects group, and somebody said covers are like the beautiful lies you tell or something. I don't know. Like, I think it's so funny. Like, cover art is so, it's funny because there's so many times I've read a comic and I'm like, oh, this cover's awesome. Come to find out that the art inside is something totally different, and you know, it's sometimes disappointing, sometimes it's good, it's just not what you expected. Or the story is like, yeah, that kind of is part of the story, but that's not the main part of the story. They just kind of use that to tease you. And that's actually the style I kind of used for the Monster Munch Mini. I kind of focus more on the monster part of it, but in all actuality, the whole monster part of the story is just kind of a vehicle to drive, actually drive what's really happening in the story, sort of, kind of. So, not that it's really very deep or anything, it's just, you know, that's just kind of almost a small afterthought thing that I put in there to help me tell the story. But the whole monster thing, you know, that's the theme of the mini comic, and it's fun to play off of that. And it's not really a lie. It's just a fun, teasy way to do it. And it's a callback to those old kind of comic covers and stuff like that. So there's that. And yeah, so I just wanted to mostly though shout out Jared Wilson and let you know about his Facebook page. Like I said, it should be facebook.com. It's a page, so I don't know if it's Facebook/page/something or whatever, but it's basically facebook.com/nightshiftcomics. Look up Night Shift Comics if you don't go to the show notes, because it will be in that. And I'm looking forward to see what they're creating over there. They're working on a specific comic, I guess. And I think the whole Silver Age thing came up because and graffiti thing, too, is because that's going to be part of his comic, I think. Like, I think he's maybe going for that. I don't know. We'll see. Definitely looking forward to checking it out. So, yeah. That's just kind of a little random thing. He happened to be talking to me today, so I wanted to shout him out. And let's see, I think I covered everything besides the main topic here. My main topic is kind of like two things that I've been wanting to talk about, but they're very related. So I guess I'll just list them here out in the front, and then I'll figure out how I'm going to meander around to these things and hopefully come out with some interesting stuff for you guys. Man, that sounds, if that doesn't sound like Jersey and Rob at leanintohard.com, what does? I guess you could tell I listen to their stuff. So yeah, in fact, I just finished listening to the newest episode. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Anyways, let's see. So the two topics, that's kind of one topic, is events, launches, and make it fun. That is one of the topics, basically, how we're putting stuff out. And reach out. That's the other kind of title thing to the topic. And they're, like I said, very interrelated. I guess I'll talk about reach out first, because it's on the top of the list, I guess. Basically, what I've been thinking about is, actually, you know what? I think I'll talk about the launches first, because I think it leads better into the other topic. So, here we go. Launches. The reason why I want to talk about launches is because, well, one, I'm putting out the Monster Mini now. It's something that I've been kind of researching and stuff, only because I read this book recently, which I've talked about before, The $100 Startup, by Chris Gillibo. And you can see his stuff at 100startup.com. But yeah, he talks about launches in it. That's one of the things he talks about. And I've been trying to kind of hone into that chapter and re-listen to it, because I do the audible.com thing. Re-listen to it over and over to get as much as I can out of it. And he also has like some PDFs at his site, free PDFs to kind of help guide you along in the process. So I've been looking that stuff over too. But I guess one thing is that a lot of times, and I've talked about this before too, is I put out a project and it's like I make it and then bam, I just want to get it out there. I want people to see it as soon as possible, like that day if possible. In fact, like I'll just make something and then put it out right away. And then, you know, but that isn't very effective. And I get no hits. And even with this mini comic, I did a soft launch. I'm calling it a soft launch because I think I'm going to add more to it in a way that is doing it right. But I just wanted to get it out there again. So, you know, I spent a lot of time putting together the sales page or whatever for it. And then I just tweeted about it. And, you know, like I said, people have gone and checked it out, but I only got one sale so far, which is fine. It's cool. This is all a learning process. I don't expect to get, you know, a ton of money from this. It's more of an exercise thing to learn from. So, yeah. And, you know, it's just to continue the whole glyph thing and keep getting people used to hearing about Glyph, I guess. Because I think he's going to be an ongoing character that I'm going to do for a while. So yeah, I just put it out. But the thing is as we put these projects out, we need to be thinking more about creating launches, like full-on launches and events. Thinking of stuff more like that and making it fun. I noticed a good example of that is Ryan Wheaton actually did that at drawryandraw.com. And he did it with his old Tumblr thing, and it's really neat how he does it, because like he doesn't like have like a whole like sales page like me where there's descriptions and PayPal buttons and all that jazz, but I know that he's gotten some sales and stuff. And what he basically does is just like, hey, check this out, I got these buttons, if you want some just email me, I'll let you know. And I've bought stuff from him also through that way. And I emailed him. I'm like, oh, how much is that? And he's like, oh, just send me like $3 or whatever in my PayPal account. And I do it, and he sends it. And it's like, I don't know. It's simple, and it's not like fancy, but it works. At least, you know, it seems to have been working for him. Now, I'm sure he wants to, you know, kind of put it a little bit in a more sophisticated way eventually. In fact, I was talking to him last night through Facebook chat, which is turning out to be a pretty cool tool. I actually always turned off Facebook chat because it becomes a distraction and causes me, like, the only time I really have it on is time I'm supposed to be spending with my wife, you know, a lot of times. And so I've turned it off a lot, but it really is cool. Like, when I do have it on and I do talk to people, like, I've given quotes for illustration through that and gone back and forth. And I like how they connect it through messaging too now. So if you can't get to it right away, you can go back later and it's still there. And I've just networked with people, built friendships with people through it. And it's just a really cool tool. I hope I can use it more. But yeah, I was talking to him through that. We were talking about websites and putting that together, and also what we're going to be doing with the Comic Projects group, which, you know, like I said, that stuff's still in the talks and stuff. But so I know that he wants to go a little further than how he has been doing it. But I really think it's cool the way he just kind of off the cuff, oh, I got these buttons, if you want something, if you want to buy them, just email me, blah, blah, blah. He does this, been doing that with all this stuff. He even did like a whole pre-order campaign, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about with the whole launches thing. Like, he did a pre-order thing, and he said, he put a Facebook comment out or whatever, and he said, it's really cool, thank you, you know, for the pre-orders. Through the pre-orders, I have overpaid for the printing and even enough to have a second print run. So that's really cool. And and these launches can be super simple. And the way he did it, if I understand it correctly, is he basically put out an image that explained what it is on a Tumblr page, and then just showed people on his other sites, you know, the offer or whatever. And it was basically it's kind of like a contest structure, like make a fan art piece of one of my characters, and you don't have to be good at art or anything, it could be stick figures, whatever. And you know what? I don't even remember how he did it. Because he had that thing going. I think that was a contest to win a comic. Man, I should have been a little more prepared to talk about that. But because now I know he did like pre-orders too, but he did it for a specific amount of time, sort of like, and his due date was August 1st, which was when we're all like supposed to have our mini comics done and send them out to each other for the trade. So I see how, like, he, that was the day, like, the pre-orders were going to that, and then he would send them out on that date, I guess, or, you know, soon afterwards, but that was when the offer ended. And, you know, just, I guess the point is that it was really simple, and, but he made it fun. He did the whole, you know, create fan art for my thing or something, and I have to find out what it was that you get if you did fan art, or if it was combined with a pre-order purchase or something like that. Maybe you got the buttons or something. I don't know. I remember reading it and being like, if it wasn't for the fact that I was already going to get the comic because we're doing this trade thing, I would have, you know, definitely, you know, done the pre-order and the fan art thing. And I definitely plan to do some trade-off fan art stuff with him anyways, just because it's fun and I like his characters and stuff. But point is, simple launch, made it fun, people bought stuff, you know, and people felt like they were being a part of something cool and fun. And you know, that's really as simple as it is. A lot of stuff can be really playful, just like put together some kind of contest or something. And I haven't done it yet. You know, I need to practice what I preach. But I definitely plan to with this mini comic. I'm going to do some kind of contest or something. Some kind of event. And you can do it and change the offer. You can add something. You know, you can redo, you know, different events to sell the same thing, repackage things up. This is all part of that whole marketing thing, but, you know, have fun with it. There's no right and wrong way to do it. It's kind of like, just like making a comic, a mini comic, you know, just jump in, get into trouble, and figure your way out, you know? And it's the same thing with marketing, you know, there's so many different ways you can do it, and I think that we need to kind of take that same approach. And then you'll start to see certain things that do work, certain word combinations that cause people to be interested or attracted to your stuff. So yeah, I'm thinking about launches and events to create around different products and stuff, and I'm going to be trying them out. Another part of that is targeting an audience, and this maybe we'll get into the reach out topic. You know, we gotta target some other people than other comic artists, obviously. So I'm thinking about that with my comic. My character is a graffiti artist, so I mean, I do kind of network with people, especially like on DeviantArt and stuff, and you know, a lot of my hip-hop friends are like either into graffiti or have done graffiti art themselves. So I don't even try to hit that market really, except for putting it out on my Facebook and Twitter and stuff. But I don't even emphasize the whole fact that my character is a graffiti artist. I haven't, at least in the past. And that's kind of not a smart move for me. You know, and I just realized that recently. I'm like, you know, I have a whole kind of audience I could kind of be hitting here. So I'm going to try to find some ways to make that fun and make that happen. And create some kind of event and launch. If you guys happen to have any ideas, definitely shoot me a comment or a Facebook thing. Or once again, you can also call into the show. Still haven't had any audio comments yet. But if I do, I will be sure to play them on the show. and you can do that by, there's a phone number, and I should have it memorized, but I don't. But if you go to my site, plexhop.com, and go to the podcast, you can find the number. It's there, right on the side, and I also post it in every single blog post. And it's on the top of every page anyways. Like, even if you just go to plexhop.com, the number is right there up on the top. And it's a Google number. You can call it and leave an audio comment, and I will play it on the show and respond to it. I think it would be fun to do that. So, yeah. You can do that. Or just email me or whatever. plex@plexhop.com is the email. So, yeah. So reaching out, that's another thing I think we kind of neglect, you know. I think we, a lot of us do that. We just kind of put stuff out and then wonder why nobody's buying it. You got to have different platforms for letting people know about this stuff. For me, the podcast is one of them, but the weird thing is I'm not really targeting the audience of buyers. I'm targeting other artists with this specific podcast. Maybe I'll create another podcast that does kind of target that the audiences I would like to buy my comic. I mean, I do like when artists buy my comic too. That's awesome. Super awesome. But, you know, I need to be trying to expand beyond that. So yeah, reaching out, just letting people know, shooting people emails. If you have had anybody ever buy something that you've made, let those specific people know. You know, email them, go on their Facebook, Twitter. I mean, don't bother them and do it like 1,000 different ways and annoy them to the point that they hate your stuff and say bad things about you. But just at least do a one time, let them know. Because if they like your stuff already, they want to know about this stuff. I know I do. You know, there's a lot of times people put stuff out and I don't even know about it. I have a friend who puts out a podcast and, you know, I didn't even know about it until they already had like 6 episodes up. And, you know, it's cool. I was able to go back and listen to the episodes and, you know, it gave me a lot of stuff to listen to at once, so that was cool, but, you know, I want to know, you know, when there's a new podcast from somebody that I'm a friend with. I want to know when somebody puts out a new project and I want to go buy it. There's a person who put out a project, you know, within the last 6 months, and I had no clue. It probably was out for like 2 months. I didn't even know. Until I actually went to their site, to their store, to see if they had anything new, because I'm that much of a fan of their stuff that I will go back and check. But not very many people will just go and go to your store just to see if you have something new. In fact, almost no one will. Even if they're a big fan of your stuff, they probably still won't even think to necessarily go back and do that, because they figure they figure that you will tell them when, somehow, some way, because we're so used to being fed this stuff, you know, on media and stuff. You know, there's huge launch campaigns for movies. You know, it's weird because I don't have cable now, and because, you know, I don't go to movies as much or get DVDs, like, on new releases as much. A lot of times, I don't even know when movies are coming out. The only way I know is through the internet. And I'm used to have seen a preview, like, multiple times and multiple versions of previews for one movie. And I'm, like, getting excited. I want to go see that movie. That hasn't happened to me very much in the last few years because I don't watch, you know, primetime television anymore. If I do, I watch it episodically through Netflix, and they don't have ads on there, you know? So I don't go to movies as much. And even these comic movies, I've seen only a few of them, you know? I haven't seen all the Batmans. And honestly, because that it hasn't been marketed to me and they haven't reached out to me to the point where it was super easy for me to see the previews within the context of other content, I don't even really want to see it that much. But I do. I mean, I want to see every single comic movie that comes out. But because I'm not being driven to it, it's kind of, I might get to it, I might not. And I'm okay with that. And that shouldn't be the case. You know, like, they should have found a way to reach out to me, sort of. I kind of feel that way, but it's my fault too because, you know, I don't have time for video unless I'm sitting down watching Netflix, and Netflix doesn't have ads, and I don't have cable, so, you know, whatever. Like, you can't blame them. Like, they are trying. They're putting it out through YouTube a lot, and I just don't happen to click on those links. And people post it on their Facebook pages, and I don't, you know, I just, video is not a way that I have, like, when I'm on the internet, I don't tend to look at, watch a lot of videos. It's just whatever my viewing habits just happen to be. I don't know why. I feel like I need to do other things when I'm on the internet. So that's kind of how that goes. But with mini comics, with indie comics and stuff like that, you know, I want to know. I really want to know when all my friends put out comics, because eventually I will probably buy your comic. Especially if it's at a price point that I can afford. There's, you know, I usually grab the cheaper one only because I really just don't have the money. But I want to at least try and support. And, you know, that goes a long way. You know, I got this one sale for a $5 little mini comic. And it's, you know, 2-for-1 mini comic. But it's really super encouraging. Like, that is not going to give me money, even gas money or anything. You know, it's something that I'll probably leave in my PayPal for a while until some money, you know, adds up, and then once I get a decent enough chunk, I'll either pay off a bill with it or something, you know. We'll see. Or get some gas or whatever. We'll see. But you know, or print up more comics, something. But it's super encouraging. Like, I feel like I'm doing something with my art. Yes, something's happening. Even though it's just one sale, it's really encouraging. So I try to at least do that for people. Like, I can buy your little $3, you know, art card, or $5 mini comic, or whatever, you know. I try to do that. And before, I had a little more money, and I would even buy like $10, $15, $20, $25 things, depending on what they were. You know, I'll try to support in every possible way that I can. And people, like I said, people want to be let known about this stuff. And to be honest, I think people probably feel like they're missing out. Like, they feel almost offended, maybe. It's possible, you know, conceivable that somebody might feel offended that they didn't hear about the thing you did, when they're big fans of what you do and you didn't take the time to find a way to reach out to them. You're actually providing a service by letting people know, I think. We shouldn't be too that shy with it. We should at least do that stuff. There is a point where you get too spammy, obviously, but actually going to these individuals is a good idea. Like, there's a really good example of this, from my, you know, me being an audience member. There's this guy, his name is Disciple X, his hip hop name is Disciple X. At this point, I have a really cool relationship with him. I support his stuff. He supports my stuff. He's really good hip-hop artist. And if it wasn't for him specifically coming to me and messaging me and letting me know about his stuff, I would never have known about him. And not only has that birthed me being friends with him, but I have connections with at least 10 other people, really good, strong connections And there's even more that, like, those are strong connections. I have loose connections with probably 20, 30 or so people just because he reached out to me years ago. What happened was my crew, Shadow of the Locust, used to have a forum. And, you know, I used to be on there a lot talking to people. And he wasn't even really on that forum, but he took the time to go reach out to different people in forums and let people know about his forum, which was MikeWar.com. And it's like this fat forum where you could do like little battles and stuff to each other, and they had tournaments and stuff, and it would promote his music and other people's music, and it was really cool. But I would have never known about that if he didn't actually private message me and say, hey, I like your stuff, you know, we got this cool battle tournament forum, I'd love to see you come by and check it out, see if you're interested in, you know, in being part of this tournament. And, you know, because he did that, I got into their forum, got to know people there, got involved in the first tournament, actually won the first tournament, and people got to know about me, I got to know about them. Since then, I've made music with at least 5 or 6 other people from there. I've formed strong relationships with at least 2 members of that forum, like I've done multiple projects with. Disciple X was on my album, LS was on my album, Dose was on my album, Kodak was on my, all those people are people who I met through that forum. And then just recently, he reached out to me again because he knows that I like his stuff and he knows I'm going to share his stuff when I find out it's out. He's been talking about this mixtape he's going to make for a year, like at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And he finally finished it, and I had no clue he finished it. But he reached out specifically to me and said, hey, my mixtape's done. If you want, you can come check it out, download it for free. So I'm like, I jumped right on top of that. I'm like, yeah, of course, I love your music. We've got this relationship now that, you know, I would share just about anything he does because, you know, we're friends and I like his stuff. And, you know, but I would have never known if he didn't reach out to me. So, that being said, I want to do the same thing. Like, I need to get better at building my newsletter list. That's one way to kind of do that. But I also want to create a number of lists. People who have purchased my stuff, people who share my stuff, people who comment on my stuff. I want to get into doing some of these spreadsheets and keeping track of these people, putting some information in of what I've, you know, conversations we've had, or, you know, just maybe where they're from, what they've purchased from me or what they've commented on from me. And then when I do launch something, specifically go to those people and say, hey, just want to let you know, I did a new thing. And, yeah, I mean, people want to know about stuff they like. It's just as simple as that. So, you know, I think we should all think more about that. We think a lot about our craft and making the thing, but we really got to focus a lot more on the marketing aspect and, you know, putting this stuff out there. There's so many times where somebody who I love their stuff puts something out. I mean, even famous people, like, I had no clue that certain people put out, like, multiple albums, like, in the underground circuit, because they don't know me, they didn't reach out to me, they don't have any kind of, you know, they probably put it out on a bunch of different ways, but they just didn't come close to me, you know, but or they're not involved enough with their audience to even comment back when somebody tweets them or something. And I know you can't get to everybody, and you know, things get redundant, but you gotta find ways to serve your audience. You know, make it easy for them, make it fun for them, think about them as if you were the audience. Put yourself in their shoes. I think I learn a lot more from going to conventions and going to people's tables and talking to them and buying their stuff. I learn a lot from that. Then, you know, there's a certain learning you get from actually tabling, but there's a certain learning you don't get unless you go and be the audience too. And a lot of times I buy people's stuff, and a big part of why I buy their stuff is to kind of experience their marketing, see how they package it up and send it to me, you know, see how quick they are and how I feel and how I respond to how quick or slow they are to actually send out whatever it is that I bought from them. There's people who I've bought stuff from them, and they've told me multiple times that they're going to send it out, and then they don't ever even send it out to me, you know? And, you know, it's cool. Like, I understand it's not easy to keep up with all the people, even to send out stuff that people have bought. It's personally, you know, in my mind, it's a really bad move to do that. If somebody buys something from you and you don't even send it out to them, that's kind of horrible. You don't want to do that. People will be very angry about that, I'm sure. I mean, I personally am not the type of person to complain about that. You know, I'll let them know. I'll say, hey, just wondering if you sent the thing out because I didn't get it. Maybe it just didn't go through for some reason. And I'm never going to be the type to be like, I can't believe, you know, like to send a mean email back to them. Like, you're such a fraud because blah, blah, blah. You know, I understand the indie situation. It's not easy. And I still support. Like, there's one person who hasn't sent me stuff that they were supposed to send me. And it's gone on for even over a year. And it's kind of squishy. I have gotten stuff from them before, but certain things I haven't gotten that I've paid for. It is what it is. Maybe I'll go contact them again. But at this point, I've contacted them multiple times, and they have said they're going to send it multiple times. And I'm just not going to sweat it. And I'm still supporting their stuff because I really like what they do, and I know they're really good people. They just, I think there must have been some kind of oversight that they just didn't see. Something happened. Maybe they sent it and it didn't go through. I'm still going to get the stuff. I might even buy it again, like buy the comic or whatever it is if I see them at a convention or a show or something. I might still rebuy it because honestly, I'm there to support anyways. But I hope they're not doing that to other people, you know, because that's not going to be good for them, you know. And I have let them know a couple times, you know, that, and it's cool. It is what it is. You know, I'm not going to worry about it or anything. But I'm just saying that not to complain, but just to say, you know, we need to be very mindful about how we're serving our audience. And it is a community, and, you know, I'm no better than anybody else, you know. And, hey, I think I've fell through on a couple things before, too. With the Kickstarter thing, Kickstarter's kind of weird because, you know, I had people who supported me. And then every time I try multiple ways to contact them, hey, what's your address? Where do you want me to send stuff to? And I ended up just sending it to whatever address was on the PayPal, and I never heard anything back from those people. I don't even know who they are. And I just and there's some people who, like, I owed them certain things, but they never let me know what they wanted. And I asked them multiple times, what do you want? And, you know, I never ended up sending something to them because I'm like, you never let me know what you want. And I think maybe in those cases, they just wanted the support anyways. They weren't really even into the product. Because some people do support just because they're family members or whatever. Or friends or something. So, it is what it is. I'm not going to sweat things that I can't control, you know. But I'll try to come through, like, this person who bought the comic recently, like, they're like, oh, you actually already sent me that Foldy comic. And I'm like, oh, crap, you know, well, I'm going to send you something else then to make up for that, since this is supposed to be like a 2-comic-for-1 deal. So I sent them the 3 stickers that I made recently, which I think probably come to the same value as a little Foldy comic, I would hope. So, actually, I mean, I would sell those stickers each for $1, and the Foldy comic I'd probably sell for $1, but I'd also give all of those things away for free in different situations, probably. I don't know. So, yeah, I think it's cool. He probably doesn't even care that I give him an extra thing. He just wants to support me anyways. But, you know, what you want to do is over-deliver anyways. You want to over-deliver. You want to, if somebody buys something, send it out to them as quick as possible. Even if you say it's going to take a week, send it out a little earlier. You want to over-deliver on these things, you know. You're trying to show people that you really do care, and you know, it creates trust, and that's a huge part of marketing. You want to find ways to create that, being transparent and honest about what's going on. Like, if you do mess up, just be honest about it. Just be like, oh, you know what, I wasn't able to get out the last couple days and you know, send something in the mail, I'm sorry, or I had something that distracted me, or I had to go, you know, change a tire in my car and it distracted me and I actually forgot, or whatever, you know. Let people know exactly why you messed up, and people will respect that, and that creates trust. It's actually a good marketing thing to let people know when you fail, because like I said, it creates that trust, and people know that you do care enough to let them know. I've had people say that to me, you know, oh, thanks so much, I'm really not concerned about it. But I really appreciate that you took the time out to let me know what happened and stuff. And then you send them maybe a little something extra to make up for. I see a lot of people do that. They do send something extra to make up for something they messed up on. And that's awesome. That's really good business practice, I think. So, yeah. That's it. This is going really long. I wanted to talk about, you know, that a little bit. I'm not telling you guys what to do. I'm just kind of telling you what my experiences have been and what I'm trying to do. And I hope that some of these things are helpful for you and encourage you to, even if you already do it, just to continue to be strong in doing that. Like, a lot of these things, like, you start to practice and you start out really well, and then maybe kind of you start lacking a little bit in, because you just, maybe you get a little lazy, or you just kind of forget, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be doing this, or being better at commenting, or, you know, sending stuff out to people, or whatever, you know. So hopefully this encourages you to continue to just be good at doing these things, you know. And to know that just doing things in a way that is kind of quality and helpful towards people, and being a service to your audience, it goes a long way. And, you know, it's a snowball effect. It might not seem like a lot right now, but these things will build and build and build. And people may be listening and checking out your free stuff for a long time, but eventually they might make a purchase, or they might become really strong customers. You never know. So, that's it. That's all I really wanted to talk about. Thank you again for listening. Come by the site, plexhop.com, see what's been going on with me. Check out the mini comic. You can read the first three pages to the mini comic. There's a link there. And I'll put the link in the show notes. So if you want to get a little taste of what it is, I mean, it's only 14 pages. It's a quick read anyways, but you know, if you want to support my stuff, come by, grab a gift bag, get the artist edition, or, you know, just grab the comic. Two stories for the price of one. Little stories, fun stories. And I appreciate any and all purchases. I appreciate any feedback. And I'm glad that I'm, you know, my listenership has grown, like the numbers are showing in the Feedburner site. It's grown, you know, a little bit here and there, and I'm really appreciate you guys who are listening. And even if you're not leaving feedback, I do really appreciate the fact that you're listening, and I really hope that you're getting something from this. And so yeah, thank you very much, and we will talk to you next week on the Escape Artist Podcast. All right, see you later.